Today comes from Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. And it's found on page 977 of the Church Bibles. So that's Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May God bless us that reading from his word. We're going to focus mainly on verse 28 and 29. But I just want you to, and it's a familiar passage, isn't it? It comes on mugs and coasters. Therefore, it must be a familiar passage. That and Micah 6:8, you know, which is another verse taken massively out of context. It's actually more about child sacrifice than it is about anything else. About, do you not? Okay, I'll tell you. Okay, so Micah 6:7 is, what should I do? Do you want me to come to you with burnt offerings? Do you want me to come to you with oil poured out over everything? Do you want me to give you the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? To which God replies in Micah 6:8, no, I've told you what is good, which is to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. So we take it and we go, oh yeah, but if you put it in the context, it gives it even more power. God doesn't want you to be sacrificing all sorts of things. He definitely doesn't want you to be sacrificing your children. What he wants you to be doing is to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. That's it. See how much easier that burden is? You haven't got to appease God. You just have to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. And Jesus, in this particular passage, because we're doing our fruit of the Spirit still, I'm not even sure we're going to finish this year at this rate, but we're doing our fruit of the Spirit. We're on the second to last one, which is great, and it's gentleness. And I want us to just focus on how the fruit of the Spirit are all attributes of God. Every single one that we've spoken about is an attribute of God. We would say that God is loving, that God is gentle, that God is kind, that God is good, that God is whatever the rest of them are. God is all of these different things. And here we have gentleness. And it's a word that we really can't translate. And we've done our best by going with gentleness. It would actually be slightly better if we went with meekness, but that makes it sound even worse, because no one really knows what meek means anymore, unless you read my article the other week in the thing. So now everyone knows what meek means, but meek doesn't mean what we think it means. In the modern ear, if you say someone is meek, we think they're timid and pathetic. They're a bit like a little mouse, and they won't do anything. And they won't say boo to a goose and all the rest of it. But that's not what it means to be meek. It means to know your strength and use it appropriately. We could say that Jesus is meek when he walks into the temple and uproots the tables and trashes everything. Not because he is being angry, but because he is right with God, using his power at the right time. And that's what being gentle is. You know, Jeff Capes. How many of you remember Jeff Capes? All right. For those of you who don't know who Jeff Capes was, he was the strongest man in the world. Okay? Anyone remember Jeff Capes? I'm looking, and there are people going, I don't know who Jeff Capes is, and they're definitely old enough to remember. So Jeff Capes was the strongest man in the world. He won it 3 years in a row. And so he was a big, big guy. And he used to keep budgies. So you've got this man who can lift like the Atlas stones, which are massive, great big boulders. He was huge. He was also a shot putter, wasn't he? Yeah, he did Olympic, amazing guy. But he's massive, and he could pick people up and all sorts of stuff, and he looks after budgies. That's the kind of image we need to get about gentleness. This is a God who is meek, who is gentle, because he knows his own strength. And he knows when to use that strength and when not to. We have that lovely expression, don't we? Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. But we really don't understand what meek and mild really means. It's about Jesus knowing who he is, knowing where that strength comes from, knowing the power that he has, and choosing not to use it. So what does that mean for us as Christians? If we are exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, and there's no options about which part of the fruit of the Spirit you exhibit all of it. If Christ is living within you, you will be exhibiting all of it, because that's what it is. What does it mean for us to be gentle? What it means for us to be gentle, we have to understand who we are and who is at work within us and the power that is available to us, and using it when it is appropriate. One of the biggest successes of the church is when we've tried to use our power when it's not been appropriate. And this is true of most religions in the world, really, that people have had power, and so they've pushed their opinions and their values onto something that hasn't been necessary or appropriate. But it's knowing who we are and who God is. So listen to these words, and I'm going to read them not with a slight change. I'm going to read them with a slightly better translation. And I think it will help us. Come to me, all you who are exhausted and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to focus on the word exhausted. As I leant forward onto the lectern. Jesus is crying out to the people, the ordinary people, who frankly, to appease the rules that are set before them, are exhausted. The Pharisees' requirements to make you holy and righteous. The cleansing rituals. Keeping away from certain people. Making sure you eat off the right with the right cutlery and the right plate. Making sure that you sit on the appropriate stool. All of those different things are exhausting. Breaking laws that you didn't even know were laws. Breaking rules that you didn't even know were rules. And you're sat there going, just getting good enough to be with God is just so tough. I can't do it. I'm sure I probably ate the wrong food. just a week last Thursday, and now as a result, I'm going to have to keep myself away from everybody else for at least 3 weeks. You know, when we were doing youth Bible study a couple of weeks ago, and it was really interesting. We were doing Mark chapter 2, and something dawned on me in the middle of it. I made it sound like I knew what I was talking about, but something dawned on me in the middle of it, is that Jesus is forever making himself unclean. All of the people Jesus goes to, all of the people Jesus touches, all of the people Jesus has interactions with, he is making himself unclean. And he doesn't care. By rights, Jesus shouldn't be allowed into anyone's house ever. So when he deals with the person suffering from leprosy, he's just made himself unclean. When he deals with the paralytic man, he's made himself unclean. When he deals with the woman who's been hemorrhaging for 12 years, he's made himself unclean. Even when he goes and sits with the woman at the well, guess what he's done? He's just made himself unclean because she's the sort of woman that no one else speaks to. That's why she turns up in the middle of the day. Jesus takes on our uncleanliness onto himself, and it's just a symbol of what he does for us on the cross. He takes all of our sin, all of our brokenness, all of our uncleanness, and he says, I'll have that. Thank you very much. You go and do what you need to do. I will unburden you of that. And here Jesus is saying, come to me, all of you guys who are absolutely shattered with trying to please the religious authorities. Come to me and I will take it off you. You're burdened. You can't do anything. Oh, you worked on the Sabbath. You walked 1 mile and 2 yards on the Sabbath. Therefore, you've broken the Sabbath. You're not clean anymore. All of that is being built up around the people that Jesus is speaking to. And he's going, come to me and I'll take it off you. All of you who are weary and exhausted from this, I'll take it away and I'll give you rest. And then he says, take the yoke that I've got on you, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because I'm not sat there trying to appease anybody. I don't care about the rules that everybody is telling you that you have to jump through. I just love you for who you are. And here's some good news for you. You're good enough. You're okay. Take it on, and because I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart. And Jesus is going, look, I've got the strength to take on all of the suffering, all of the pain, all of the trouble. And I'll use my strength at the appropriate time. But my wrath is not, and that strength and that anger that I might exhibit is not going to be directed at you who are weary and heavily burdened. It's going to be directed at those things and those institutions that are telling you that you're not good enough and you can't do it and you're rubbish. That's why Jesus walks in and in the gentlest way possible tips over the tables in the temple and runs around with a whip trying to cast out people. That's why Jesus takes on all of sin and the punishment of sin in his body, because he's gentle, because he knows the strength that is within him, because he knows his God and he knows who he is and he knows that he can deal with it. And he makes that cry across the centuries to you and me. Now, I could tell you that there are lots of rules and regulations that you have to go through to be good enough in church. I hope you don't think there are, because if that's the case, we're probably doing something wrong. The only requirement to be good enough for God is to come to Jesus. That's it. John 3:16, probably the most overquoted verse in all of Scripture. For God so, which apparently is hate speech, according to possibly a policeman this week. For God so loved the world, that's definitely where you get hate in there, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's it. That's all you've got to do. You've got to believe that when Jesus said it's finished on the cross, it was. When Jesus said that you are forgiven, you are. When Jesus says that you're loved, you are. When Jesus says that your sins are forgiven on the because of the cross, and all you have to do is look on him and receive salvation, then that is what's happened. That's what you're asked to believe. And own that for yourself. And I know that's really difficult, because I'm really, really good at knowing all of my sins. I'm excellent at it. In the same way, I'm really good at knowing all of my faults, all of my, I can tell you what goes wrong in a service much better than you could. I've come up with all of the, I'm a hypercritical person of myself, and I will beat myself up over it. But actually, I need to receive the freedom that Christ gives. I need to remember that I'm good enough, and that I just need to cast it all on him. And that I'm not to pick it up at the door. One of the biggest things that we get in church life, and we get this bit wrong. We think, I'm saying we as in a general across the entire church, not this one in particular. We think that this is a place to hide from our problems. Leave your problems at the door because you're coming to see Jesus. Well, what are we going to do with them when we leave then? What we do with them when we leave, when we left them at the door, is we pick them up and we carry on. And we go, here you go, yeah, well, I went to see Jesus, had a wonderful time, and no, it's not appropriate for me to actually come with any brokenness or any pain, because that's, I'm come to worship God, and that's not what this is about. I'm here to... And then we pick it up at the door and we go. What have we done with our problem? What have we done with our worry? What have we done with our woe? We've just left it. We haven't taken it to the one who can part the waters of the Red Sea. So instead of coming in and leaving your problems at the door, leave them at the foot of the cross and don't pick them back up. Because that's the point of this passage. Give me what's wrong and I'll deal with it. Because you don't have the strength to deal with it, but I do. Don't leave your problems at the door only to pick them back up again. Leave your problems at the foot of the cross and I will deal with it. And then you can take what I'm requiring of you on you. When Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, he's saying, look, this is what I'm going to put on you. Just love me and follow me. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. That's what he's asking. He's not saying, and make sure that you attend prayer meetings, Bible studies, make sure that you give a tenth of all you have to the poor, make sure that you are wonderful with your shoeboxes, make sure that you do all of these different things. That doesn't get you into heaven. What gets you into heaven is walking humbly with your God. What makes you right is believing that Jesus Christ died for us on the cross and our sins are forgiven. That's what makes us right. That's what the yoke is. And I tell you what, that if that's all I've got to carry around, well, there's no weight to that whatsoever. Being told that I'm set free, being told that I'm released, that's no yoke at all, is it? And so we need to make sure, if we're going to be gentle and humble in heart like Jesus is, then we use our strength appropriately. We don't bully people into submission, but we do walk with those who are struggling. And we try and take some of that burden from them. And if there is a person in this room who's never struggled, I don't believe you. Because we struggle all the time. Life comes, has a habit of just kind of hitting us in the face and going, oh, you thought things were going well. Interesting. Allow me to present you with this bill that you weren't expecting. Oh, you thought things were going well. And you've just had a really lovely holiday. Allow me to present you with water pouring through your ceiling. Whatever it is, God gives us the strength to deal with it. But he also gives us each other in order to help each other deal with it. The other thing that we do when we leave our problems at the door and we don't share them and we don't leave them at the cross is no one then has the opportunity to help. The number of times I watch people struggle in silence because they won't tell us what the problem is, because people are proud, because people are ashamed. One of the hardest things we do in life is learn to be served. We're really great at serving. We're not so good at actually being served. I don't know how many of you have ever noticed that, but it's really tough. I'm not great at it. Hannah was trying to put me in a retirement home the other day. I'm not quite sure why, but there you go. But Hannah had decided that I'm getting older, so we'll need care. I was like, well, thanks a lot, love. But I said, I'd be completely open. I don't want to go in a home. Why? Well, because I don't want people I don't know looking after me. Now, do you know what? Do you know, I've never even had an overnight stay in hospital, so the idea of me going somewhere where someone else does anything for me, I'm just not great with that. But actually, it's not bad to be served. But then I said to Hannah, I said, well, as you're so convinced that I need care, you can be my carer. I'll accept care from you, Hannah. She went, no, I'm not doing it. Or perhaps don't suggest it. Anyway, the point is that actually we need to learn to be served. And we need to go, you know, I'm actually really struggling with this. This thing's just happened. That thing's just happened. I could do with some help. And in my experience, what happens when people find out that there's a need, the response of the church is, okay, we can deal with that together. We can get on with that. We can provide meals. We can come around and mend your whatever it is that's broken. There's no need to be ashamed. It's just God loves us. And because we've experienced that love and we've been given that strength to deal with the problems that we've got, God gives us the strength to then help other people deal with it. And that's the beauty of the church. When Paul says you are the body of Christ, he doesn't say you as in the singular. He does it in the plural. You are the body of Christ, together, working together. And it's through that gentleness and strength that we're able to get through. So can I encourage you to just hear those wonderful words again and claim what Jesus is offering for yourself. Come to me, all you who are exhausted and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We're going to sing from the breaking of the dawn, I will stand on every promise.